A couple years ago, Sarah and I, for our anniversary, we made a sort of pilgrimage. And it was a pilgrimage that would only really matter to me, because we went to southern Colorado. And this was, in family legend, the place where my family began, all the way back to Christopher Columbus. And whether that's true or not, I don't know. But our family has been in southern Colorado at least for 400 years, so I hear. My grandparents were married in a little town called Antonito, in the little Catholic church there that I think is the oldest one in Colorado. And my dad's grandmother, my dad's mother, was also born in Antonito. And they moved to Nebraska after that, but everybody kind of starts there. And we also visited Alamosa, and got to see my grandfather, the house that he built with his own. And it's about the size of these pews here. We knocked on the door, and lady answered, could only speak Spanish. And we asked if we could just peek and look in. And it was literally about the size of these pews, a very small house. But it was amazing that it was still there. Now, Alamosa is kind of a healthy place. But everywhere else around southern Colorado is a little bit sad. Antonito is, needless to say, underwhelming. I don't know, maybe there's 100 people there now. And we had to stay, I'm a Priceline guy, so we had to stay in Walsenburg, which is about an hour away. Have you ever been to Walsenburg? Now, Walsenburg used to be right off of I-25. But I-25 expanded and moved a little bit to the east. And so there's a frontage road, which used to be I-25, that goes right through Walsenburg. Well, you can tell that Walsenburg used to be something. And we got to stay in this bed and breakfast, and it was kind of sketchy. And we walked around town, and we just noticed how many places were just closed. Boarded up or downright closed. And it was really sad. Now we learned into our trip there that the bed and breakfast that we were in was right over the fence from the county jail. And so this tells you what kind of place Walsenburg was. So southern Colorado is underwhelming, a little bit sad. And you see where I'm going with this. If you've ever been to Nazareth, it's about the same. This was the place where the Son of God grew up. Remember the old, or the new, Michael Bublé song, "Another winter day has come and gone away, even Paris and Rome, and I want to go home. Let me go home. And I'm surrounded by a million people, I still feel all alone. Oh, let me go home. Oh, I miss you, you know." Is this how Jesus felt about his hometown? Now think about it. The Son of God grew up in a place that had about 500 people. And it was a place that interacted with the outside world quite a bit. And when a rural place interacts with the outside world, you have a lot of different kinds of tensions, ethnic tensions. So there were immigrants there. There were foreigners there. There were lots of Gentiles. But they had this little synagogue. This was where the Son of God spent 30 years of his life. Why? Nathaniel says, "Can anything good come from Nazareth?" Hardly any people there. And the ones they had were in tension with one another. And they struggled to make ends meet. It was a place you liked to be from. One writer says, "For some people, Nazareth and communities like it are just exits on the highway, underdeveloped land, the boondocks, pretty meadows on the way to somewhere else." a hive of scum and villainy, as Obi-Wan Kenobi would say. Kind of like Walsenburg. If you've seen the movie Cars, if you have grandchildren or little kids around, you've seen the movie Cars. It's Radiator Springs, a place no longer relevant to anyone else. 30 years. Is it enough that Jesus was born in a barn? Is it enough that he was rejected and died on the cross? 30 years in Nazareth. And we had a respectable profession that his father handed down to him, a carpenter. But what kind of success could he have in Nazareth? There was another city called Sepphoris, not far away. And if you were young and up and coming, you moved there. You practiced your trade there, because there you could make a little money. And what kind of influence could Jesus have in Nazareth? With all of his wisdom, with all of his theological insight, and you get this much of it when he's 12 years old in the temple in Jerusalem. Why not stay there? Why not stay with someone like Hillel, who was a contemporary, a little bit older? Why not be raised by the greatest rabbis and have the highest influence? But no, he went back to Nazareth. And then enter our gospel reading. Now, at first, those in the synagogue were tolerant of Jesus' message. It says they all spoke well of him. And you could almost see them saying, "Isn't this little Joseph's son? What a sweet boy. He's 30 years old now. He grew up. And look at him now. He's interpreting the scriptures just like you do when you become an adult." But there were some who had heard about his healing, who had heard about the beginning of his ministry. And they were sitting there with their arms crossed. And they were thinking to themselves, "Well, why doesn't he do that here? Doctor, cure yourself." In other words, "Doctor, this is you. This is your home. This is where you belong. Show us what you got, kid." And Jesus went right to him. Now, for a place that has ethnic tension, what does he say? "Look at all the widows in the time of Elijah." And he didn't go to anyone in Israel. He went to a Gentile. "And what about all those kings? And what about all the rulers of Israel in Elisha's time? And yet, he went to Naaman, the Syrian." Then what did they want to do with little Yeshua, little Jesus? Throw him off a cliff. Now, what did Jesus feel at that moment? When his hometown folk, the folk he invested 30 years in, wanted to throw him off the cliff. Now, he knew what his message was. He knew what his mission was. And he walked confidently right between them. And they parted ways, I'm sure. And he went on to Capernaum. But it had to have hurt. It had to have stung. All of this time invested, was it wasted time? Like the prophet Jeremiah, Jesus had to tell his own people that they were under judgment. But there in the synagogue were Jesus' friends, his neighbors, his childhood rabbi, all ready to push him off a cliff. Can anything good come from Nazareth? Despite all that, though, what has Jesus' title been? Jesus of Nazareth. So did he waste his time? Did he waste his talent? Did he waste his theological acumen, his ability to heal, by being in that place? Isaiah 11, chapter 1, verse, chapter 11, verse 1, says, from Jesse's roots, a Netzer will bear fruit. From where we get the word Nazareth. A branch will bear fruit. Sinful as it was, tiny as it was, insignificant as it was, God chose Nazareth. And Nazareth will always be the center of the world. Because Jesus was there. Christ made it so. God loved and still loves Nazareth because his son came to it. Did you know that Nazareth is now the Arab capital of Israel? 69% Muslim, 30% Christian. He still loves it. As believers in the Incarnation, as believers in the Triune God, is there a place where Christ is not? Is there a place that is outside of his reach? And more than that, when you take the name of Christian upon yourself, you take Christ wherever you go. Therefore, wherever you go, whatever you do, is not a waste of time when you do it in the name of Christ. The relationships you make, the people you see, the people you interact with, are loved by God. And especially if you bring the name of Christ with you into those relationships and into those interactions. It is never a waste of resource. It is never a waste of time when you do something in the name of Jesus. How many of you know who Henry Francis Lytle is? Well, he was a faithful priest. He was ordained young. He spent most of his ministry, though, 23 years, in a little fishing town, in a little parish called All Saints in Devonshire, England. Now, he was quite a fine preacher and was able to attract quite a few folks. However, about midway through his ministry, remember, there was a lot of tension in England between low church, high church, middle church, all these things. And he kind of hung his hat on the high church side about midway through his ministry. Well, those folks said, you know what? There's a nice little, I guess they wouldn't talk that way. There's a nice little Plymouth Brethren church right down the street. We feel more comfortable there. And they left. And so there he was. Half his parish, but he kept on going. Then at the age of 54, in his 23rd year in ministry, he got the consumption. And what's that, Dr. Hollis? He got tuberculosis. And he got up and he preached his last sermon at age 54. 3 days after that, he was dead. He was also a poet. and he wrote many, many poems. But nobody ever bought them. So, did he waste his time? Turn to hymn number 662. And look for the name Henry Francis Lytle. And tell me if you recognize that hymn. When he got home from preaching his final sermon, he saw death was on his doorstep, and he wrote that hymn. And the people in his parish could probably care less a little bit, though many loved him, I'm sure. The people in the town could probably care less. But you tell me, did he waste his time? I fear no foe. With thee at hand to bless. Ills have no weight and tears no bitterness. Where is death's sting? Where grave thy victory? I triumph still. If thou abide with me. When you do something, when you write something, when you have a relationship and it's done in the name of Christ, it is never a waste of time. It is always God's work in the world. Amen.